Blog Talk Radio.
My path, needing to move in, meeting, see, how do I like, great start. My path, needing to move in that way, that was the way of the freedom. And I see the darkness holds me as it held me. A weight I and I alone have given it, holds no longer. Needing to smile in that way of the cosmic giggle, the Buddha knew, the goddess knew, the creator offered. Deep pools of my soul, looking back at me to say, don't move, just fly. Okay, well, I'm not very great at reciting poetry, but I just wanted to say welcome to Personal Transformation. Today, please welcome, we have Art Lockhart, our founder of the Gatehouse. We have Carol Smith, director of the Gatehouse, and we have Maria Barcelos, executive director, and she's also producing a show here today as well. I'd like to welcome you all here today, and today is pretty straightforward. I really wanted to talk about our conference, 2021 Transforming Trauma Conference, just passed by, and again, welcome today, and I guess right off the bat, I'm going to jump right to Art, and again, welcome today, Carol, as well. I'm going to, I guess, any remarks in regards to how it went this year, how you felt it went this year, and our guests, if you wouldn't mind commenting on our guests as well. So it's kind of a double-sided question here. So how it went this year and our guests, any thoughts? Really,
wonderful to be here, and hello to everybody as well. Before I comment about the conference, I just want to compliment you, Stuart, for you being in that video, one of the first of its kind with the World Health Organization. That was phenomenal. I believe that that effort that you were involved in is reaching out and touching lives literally like around the planet. There is no doubt. The conversations that have been generated because of that film are really people responding to your voice. So from me to you, Stuart, as a person who I'm grateful that I can say you're a friend of mine, that I am so grateful for what you have done for so many people in this area of childhood sexual abuse. So just to say that before we even go on to the conference. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And the conference was phenomenal. There was another first at our Transforming Trauma Conference, insofar as linking to the poetry initiative that we'll talk a bit more about, I'm hoping. One of the things that happened there was really unique. At the beginning of the conference, how many days was that now? Three? How long was that conference, Maria?
It was the whole week, November 15th to the 19th. Yeah.
Okay, so for the whole week. We were into the conference maybe about 20 minutes in that conference. And Carol Smith, though on the board of directors of the Gatehouse, she recites a poem that she wrote to all the people that were tuning into the conference at that moment. And in that moment, not unlike what you were doing, Stuart, for me what was happening was a moment of transformation. And the transformation was a broad transformation. It was a social transformation. Here you have you speaking in that film. Here we have Carol speaking at the conference out loud in response to the issue of having been sexually harmed as a young person growing up. And somehow, to me, what that revealed is the growing strength of our voices. Everybody's voice is getting stronger and stronger, and they're getting stronger because of you folks. And so that to me was a watershed moment at the conference when Carol spoke. I thought it was amazing. And that was a precursor to Carol's poem and her reciting of the poem and her expressing what it meant to say that poem was foundational for the last day of the conference when we had the poetry session where we all contributed to writing our own poems based on some of the work from the folks down at the Wick Poetry Center and Kent State University that we're collaborating with. So to me, it's been a magical time, and a really, really magical time.
Awesome. Thank you for saying that too, because, you know, it's funny with all the different people and the different guests we have, it's funny how, you know, thinking about past conferences gone by, you know, I think poetry has kind of been in there here and there, but it's never been to the level that it is now. And what I mean by that, when I talk about the level, how meaningful and how inspiring it is. And reflecting back to Carol's poem, and it was kind of hard to bring, I kind of find it hard to bring words to that because I related so much to her experience. And I just love how she articulated herself into that, into those words and thoughts and emotions. And I think people don't get that, but sometimes this is our way of saying how we feel and what our experience what we've been through. So I think it's a beautiful thing, the way, deep appreciation of that as well. So now, do you see this becoming, I don't know, do you see this growing, it has been growing, the initial intent was there to make it grow and to go further and further along, but do you see it building more even today is what I guess is what I'm asking?
Well, maybe, Carol, what would you like to say about that, Stuart's question there? What your experience did you start with it?
So we thought they grow, and we're talking about the outreach of the actual...
Yeah, the outreach, the outreach, exactly.
So I believe that even just in putting it together, what we envision is a global poetry initiative. So we see this spreading around the planet where it is a place of poetry, where people are able to find whatever voice they can and contribute to this quilt, and it could produce some healing. Because I would say that even since I read my poem, difficult to write and even worse to read, I've actually found other words. I haven't written another poem, but I've been like in my time of reflection when I'm sitting quietly, I've actually found other words coming to the surface. Things like, you know, I was young, I was innocent. I'm hearing words coming to the, like the feelings and the words coming. And I really do believe it's because of the healing process that the initial poem brought about, because for me, it's a very triumphant poem because, as I mentioned to Arthur, it gave me that respect and understanding for anyone like yourself, Stuart, that has spoken up about the harm that they've experienced, the courage that it takes, like, because prior to me speaking that day, I was telling them I just wanted to turn my camera off and just run. Mm-hmm. I was changing my mind. I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I felt like panic, like, enveloping me and everything, but I have a personality where I tend to walk into my fears despite that. And even the way I wrote the poem, it was I can't find the words, but these are the words I'm going to find. And so as a result of that feeling that began to take place, I started noticing that when I have quiet, reflective time, I'm finding other words coming to my mind. And I'm thinking maybe I'm going to have to put pen to paper again soon.
That would be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, so when we talk about globally, and again, I guess this could be for both you and Carol, both for you, Art and Carol, but when you talk about globally, can you give a kind of a demographic idea of how it's spread throughout the world?
Yeah, without question. First of all, just the fact that at the conference, to have Carrie from the Wick Poetry Center at Kent State University lead a group of people through a poetry exercise. There is an example right there that you have from somebody from the United States joining in with us up here in Toronto in Canada to run a poetry session. Alongside of that, there are poems that have been coming in from places like in South America that are incredibly powerful. And that is leading us into a discussion right now with not only having poems as obviously English as the primary language, but poems written in and through people's own voices from their own language. So we may have poems from that are in Portuguese, in Spanish, in German, in various forms of Chinese. That's what's starting to happen as well. And so we also have people who have contributed from Switzerland, from England, from here in Canada, of course, and we want to keep it going. And the way it goes, it seems to be going, is just what happened about 15 seconds ago when Carol commented that she now is finding words, and those words may become a second poem. So I'm hopeful that Carol will contribute another poem to the site. And then also the statement that said, I'm now finding these words when I'm in a period of reflection. I'm just thinking, I'm just being there, and these words are coming out. To see that and on a website, in my estimation, will encourage other people to join in and will weave their words into the quilt that we are all creating together. All of us are creating. And if we all keep doing this, pretty soon that whole quilt, it will be around the planet. So it's growing in that way. Another way that it's also growing is Humber College here in Toronto. They have a web design department, and they have determined that they are going to create a full-fledged website dedicated to the poems that are coming in. That is remarkable. And the people that are doing that, Bernie, Kent, those fellows deserve so much credit for taking this on, and that this site will be maintained in perpetuity. Like, it's going to be here forever. And that is a heck of a thing to be in the beginning of for all of us. So I'm seeing it grow, and there's other things I'll perhaps speak to later, but that's what I'm seeing happening right now.
Thank you. This question is for you, Carol, again relating to the poetry initiative. Is there any poems from any particular country that really stand out to you that you've seen coming across the board, that are coming through? Not that they all aren't outstanding, which they are, because it takes a tremendous amount of bravery and courage to do this. But is there anything that kind of struck your heart as you were going through them? And I don't know how many poems you have now. Do you have any idea how many poems you've received over this period of time?
I don't know what the number is. I have seen quite a few of the sample poems that have came in the early days, and I think that the theme that runs through all of them is the very, very deep emotions that are behind every word that was written by the people that contributed. And then also there seems to be an essence of triumph in each poem as well. That's one of what I noticed, is that there's that that vulnerability and truth in the early part of the poems, and then there's some element of triumph, which I think is very powerful.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. You know, excuse me. when I talk about, you know, I kind of mention about if anything that stands out, and I guess maybe let me rephrase that. So is there any country that's actually contributing more than other? And maybe, and I'm not saying this in a competitive rate, to be competitive, but I'm curious to see who's actually doing this more and who seems to be, picking up that pen, if I can put it in that manner, and actually doing it, because this is pretty deep rooted, you know, pretty deep stuff for anybody to do. And I'm just curious, not to be competitive or anything like that, as I pointed out, but is there any country that seems to be doing it more than the other? And maybe this could be an initiative for others to maybe pick up the pen and do the same.
I think you hit on a great phrase about initiative for others, that while we started it here in Canada, it didn't take very long before we had poetry from England, as an example. And in fact, one of the poets from England even has a full book of poetry. And in what is beautiful about that is the poet there, Elizabeth is her name, is also linked to an organization that helps children who have been harmed as well, sexually. And so we are not only having people from other countries join in, but also they're saying that they're going to be talking to other organizations that are working in this area. So you can see that it's going to go from individuals to full-fledged organizations, which is really exciting. There, and also, one poem that jumped out at me recently came from Daniela. And I'm not sure, Maria, what country Daniela was from. Do you, can you recall? It was this, the seed poem that we used at the conference on the Friday.
I will double check it, but I believe it's the United States. I actually pulled one out from Switzerland, if I can share it on screen and just give an example of some of the work we've received thus far.
Yeah. That's amazing what you're doing, Maria.
Hopefully you can see that.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a poem that we received from Eugenie in Switzerland. In my early years, living in many tears, they unknown passed by, which made me tremble as much as the hands that came by. Beautiful.
Incredibly powerful.
It is. And it doesn't take many words to be powerful, and that's a great example.
Yeah. And that came from a person who... whose poems or her experience is decades that it happened. And there she is putting pen to paper after decades of this. And I guess that's one of the features that we want to articulate is that this crosses the entire age range for people to submit poetry. And from young people perhaps, and there's a whole discussion around how we go about that, but to have people who have been carrying the weight of abuse for their entire life, pretty much. And to be able to have the freedom to say that in writing is incredibly, incredibly transformative. And using Carol's word earlier, it's a triumph of the spirit. It really, truly is. And the nice thing about this is that Eugene's triumph is read by people around the world. And her triumph will invite other people to engage in the poems in such a way that they experience a triumph. And it'll just keep on growing. And that is exhilarating to me. And then maybe people will start connecting with one another. We're looking at how to do that and sharing more and more as we go along this journey together.
Awesome. Thank you. So you think this could turn into potentially a book?
Yep. I hope so.
You hope so? Yeah.
I do. I. But Maria, what would you think about if there was a Gatehouse poetry book?
That would be amazing. Actually, our board chair, Sabra, has 17 or 18 poems written since this whole thing started.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal.
You know?
Yes, Stuart, your answer, yes. A best-selling book.
Yeah, that I believe so. Very much believe so. Considering the times that they are.
Yeah, and any money that would come from that would every single penny would go right into the Gatehouse. Like that would be the most beautiful thing, so that the Gatehouse continues its journey of what Maria, you, Carol, all the people at the Gatehouse lead. That would be a real support to the Gatehouse. Can you imagine that book walking into a classroom, let's say, and you see sitting on the desk is that book of poetry.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
And that we, all of us, get to say, oh, yeah, I contributed to that book. Like, you know, like that would be the most exhilarating thing to happen. And somebody opens up a book, pardon me, and reads a poem just like Maria just did. And then there's a discussion in the classroom. What happened for you as that came out? And who knows, that book, with a proper process around it, a proper support, like two hands holding it, that allows for younger people to talk about this issue. That would be extraordinary, so that they maybe get to deal with it much earlier than someone who says, I'm 80 years old. And saying it for the first time. Imagine a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old being able to find words, as Carol said, and put that to pen, and who knows where that leads. That would be, again, quite transformative. We would literally be transforming the curriculum in schools with the words from people such as Carol and Sabra, you, Maria, everybody would really transform curriculum. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Oh, just transform the curriculum in school boards. That would be quite something.
I just want to jump in here for a second, Stuart. We have a comment on social media for Arthur. Liz Cook, apparently one of your students. Hi there. So great to see you again.
Very nice.
Mentioned that she would love to see a book at the gatehouse and was there at the beginning as a student.
Isn't that wonderful? That's just delightful. Well, hello, Liz. That's just fantastic. You made my day. That's really, really great. And we will have that book. As sure as we'll have a full-on website for this whole initiative worldwide. That would be beautiful.
I think one of the things I would say to add to what Arthur said too is that one of the great things about the poetry initiative and poetry in general is that even to put words down, you have to visit the trauma in some form, whether you're on the outside looking in at it and not facing it totally, but you do actually have to visit it in some way to put any words down. And I was thinking that if not for the poetry, where would those words end up? They just would be end up locked inside. And in that first person, their healing is deferred because of the fact that they're not able to release the words, not able to address it, face it, but because of the non-threatening way that you're able to, in your own time, in your own words, in the words you can find, put words down on paper. So poetry is just a beautiful way to promote healing in your life and to liberate your spirit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I totally agree with that. And I think even in my own struggles, when I look back through my healing journey, when I went to the gatehouse, I struggled immensely to find words. Don't get me wrong, I didn't do it all through poetry, but my actual act of healing, dabbed in poetry here and there. But when I think about it, it was kind of poetry in motion. Finding my words to what I was thinking and feeling. Me being old school, being brought up the way I was told never to speak about my childhood sexual abuse. So therefore, I had to learn ways of talking about it and expressing about it and to what I truly, truly felt inside, because I buried those thoughts and feelings for so long. And I did not know how to articulate what I was truly feeling, never mind to anybody else, but to myself, being able to put it to a form that I can understand or comprehend and place it where I can say, okay, Stuart, this is what I'm truly feeling and thinking. So what does that mean to you? You know, not just here, but here as well. And from that, where are you going to take that? And of course, well, I'm still here now and I've transformed in many ways that I couldn't talk about in the time that we have, but to me, poetry and putting it into practice, because I know when I did the art therapy program, that was kind of where I learned to pick up the pen and actually discover poetry to whatever degree that I could, right? Mm-hmm. Not that I shared it, but it wasn't even so much that, but my feelings and my thoughts were part of that and being able to place them so I can understand and were a big part of me moving forward. And I incorporated art into that as well. Of course, the art was my experiences or my transformation is kind of how I turned it into. Most people wouldn't understand that, but that's all right. That's not what it's about. It's about me understanding what my journey is about and being able to put it in a place where I could say, okay, I can look at myself every day and say, this is what I'm doing for myself, or this is what I'm not doing for myself. So it has so many qualities, right? And people don't see that. You know, even in that short one we saw from Sweden, a short poem, those few words. And one of the things I learned from the gatehouse many, many, many long time ago, and actually I think, Art, you were kind of put me on that path and some of the other facilitators. And when we talk about in writing our journey, it's not always about the paragraphs of your journey. Sometimes that one word can lead to those feelings and thoughts. And in that one word or phrase can go a long way in helping you self-discover who you are And that's one of the things I love about that. And I must ask you, Carol, too. Now, this has taken a lot of work to do to get this into place. Can you talk about the work that you've had to do to make this all work a little bit? Because I don't want this to be unknown. It's just not a, you know, flipping a page and picking up a phone. It, there's an awful lot that's involved in this. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, your a little bit about your struggles putting this together and a little bit about the triumph about that, if that's all right with you.
I would say that it's a work in progress. I know that working with Arthur has been very educational for me because Arthur has so many contacts in this environment, and he's done extensive work in making connections and networking with various organizations and poets and so on, even before I decided to come on as the co-chair of the project. And we have, we're collaborating with Humber College students and their web design team, as Arthur mentioned earlier. And it hasn't really been, I wouldn't really say that it's been much of a struggle in the fact that there's been so much enthusiasm towards being involved. Everyone that we've approached is so enthusiastic to contribute and to participate. So it's actually been quite a very pleasant journey so far. I've seen the vision materialize over the next few months. I think if we regroup in 6 months, we can see, have a better accurate look at how things are progressing. But definitely so far, it's been actually a pleasure and a joy. I think Arthur would agree to everybody we've collaborated with. Arthur's made so many different connections. I've even connected with people in the U.S. that specialize in being wordsmiths. And
yes,
great. Done like a lot of sort of reaching out to people. And now we're hoping that as time moves forward over the next few months, we're going to start to see those relationships develop into so much more now with regards to contributing to the actual project itself. So it's been a fight for me, as I said, even just being involved, it's been instrumental in beginning healing in my life.
And there's a quote I see right there. There lies the seed of opportunity in every adversity we face. We suffer to inspire, by Randall Adjei. And Randall is the poet laureate here in Ontario. And he is collaborating with us as well. And he's in the remarkable fellow, and so we're really honored that he has said that yes, I would like to contribute. He's going to be contributing a poem as well as a video and audio piece for the website as it unfolds. So to have the Poet Laureate of Ontario say I want to be part of this is it's a statement. And then through Randall's network of other poet laureates, my dream is that every poet laureate could contribute something in some way or another. They don't have to have experienced personal sexual trauma growing up, but they can also just give a few statements to us about what poetry meant to them. Why is it that poetry allows you to do what it allows you to do? And so I'm hoping that that'll unfold as we go forward. But already Randall has, that he's been out to the Gatehouse. We had Carol and I had a delightful meeting with him and Maria, and it was just a wonderful meeting. And looking to him for guidance and direction in a number of areas as we go forward. So that is quite a thrilling experience. And again, too, in tribute to you, Stuart, for the World Health Organization's connections, because of your involvement with them, we are now involved with them. In fact, that poem came from Switzerland, but really it came, if you were the mailman or the mail woman carrying that bag of mail, it kind of came through you because you were the one who made the connection with the World Health Organization. And one thing leads to another, as we've often seen. And then there's that poem here. And it's a beautiful, beautiful poem. So that's what we're doing. And we have three students as well from Humber College. They're at the Social Service Worker Program. And their task over the next semester is to reach out to a number of organizations around the world and individuals around the world. So that's going to be their task as well as we go forward. And delightful students. Carol and I met with them, and we'll be seeing them systematically throughout the semester. So that's what we're up to on that front.
That's awesome. Thank you. So I'm curious, though, with these students involved, have they contributed as well through this process?
And then they will be. We met with them briefly, and because at the school right now, at this moment in time, there's no in-person classroom activity right at the moment. But come the new semester, they're on appeal placement, so that they're basically to be online, and there'll be occasions when they are in person. And that would be meeting at the gatehouse on a couple of occasions throughout the process. And so when I meet with them again on January the 12th, we may be having a meeting and be taking them through some of the processes that you're familiar with, Stuart, at the gatehouse, in terms of getting a sense of yourself, your child's story, your youth story, your adult story, so that they can feel this process, not just do it, but feel the process. And from talking with them, when Carol and I talked with the students the other day, two of them said, as we're leaving the house, that they'll be writing a poem just right off the bat. So that's, there you go. And I can imagine they're going to, hopefully we'll have a process in place where they can go into classrooms at the college and university and have other students get involved in writing poems as well.
That's awesome. You know, when I look at the name, it really sounds familiar, but I won't say or point fingers because just from my experience, but I just have a hunch. But anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. And, and that's awesome that you're sharing about the students. I was curious because I know as adults, we sometimes, well, not sometimes, we influence our young, so younger people. So that's why I was curious if they have now, oh, wow, this looks interesting and cool. And I know with my interaction with Humber College students in the past and quite a bit of experience interacting with them over the years and other academic settings as well, we are an influence to them. And I'm so proud of saying that. So I was just curious, well, okay, now you've dropped the seeds here now. So are these bells going off now? So, and that's really awesome to hear that hopefully that they will contribute something along this journey as well. I mean, they're learning a lot from this as well, not just from other people's experiences. And who knows, they may have had the same experience that we've had as well. So we just don't know these things.
That's
so
right.
It's just interesting to see. Because I know with speaking with students in the past and going and speaking in classes, we always get one or two students that will come up and say, okay, I can relate to that experience. And I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, it's so empowering to see them actually discover sometimes that that's actually the first time they've even talked about it.
Yeah.
And there's a love of being a so-called role model, and pardon the way I put that, or being an adult, I guess it'd be a better way to put it. Never mind always so much a role model, but I guess to a certain degree as well without, fluffing it too much, but it's awesome. And that's why I was curious, because the students, you know, they're gonna, if they're there, they're there to learn, and then they have these other things come along that they can learn in life experience, which they had no idea which they were even going to come across in their studies. Like, this is something, you know, something they never would have thought of doing is what I'm getting, what I'm saying. So something new, new inspiration, and to me, it's educational because it helps them with their creativity. So it's a win-win all around.
And there's something even magical happening right at this moment too, right? Because of your podcast, the person, Liz Cook, I waved earlier, I can see writing on here that she was involved with the Gatehouse right in the early, early days, and she received an award for her work. And here it is, 24 years later,
wow,
because she was working on the house before it started. But here she is, now she's going to be writing a poem. She said, I am going to attempt to write a poem. Now that is magic. To have that happen right here, right now, in this fashion, that is absolute magic. And that's what we're talking about here. That's exactly that. Right, Carol?
Yeah. Way to go, Liz.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's awesome.
Yeah. And about the Humber College students, one of the other things that the students are going to be responsible for is connecting with other colleges and universities that have specific programs, and in some institutions, colleges, universities, they even have a department dedicated to being a support for people experiencing sexual violence. And so we're going to be inviting the students to reach out to all of those organizations as well, because what we want to do, in addition to the poetry and the statements about what it meant to write a poem, is also to have attached to this website all the different resources that are available to people so that they can go to these places. Because sometimes it's interesting how people might reach out, even though, say, they're situated in Toronto at a university. It may feel safer to connect with the university somewhere else about sexual violence. It feels so intimate that they know there's perhaps a department down there, away from their place, but they'll still go to some other place a little bit further away just to give themselves a bit of space. So if that can happen, where they can just at a click of a button through this poetry initiative also find out about these other things, that can be extremely helpful to anybody. But in this case, we're talking about students.
That's awesome. So I'm curious, now you mentioned about a website that Humber College is doing. Now, has that website been developed yet, and is it up for people to go and see already, or is that still in development?
It's still in development.
I'm sorry. Carol, yeah.
We've had meetings to discuss the parameters and things that we want to make sure are involved and included in it. I think it's going to be really awesome, just because the Humber College team that's working, Bernie, that we met with, he really understands the vision and he understands the sensitivity of the topic as well. So when it all comes together, we know that it's going to be something that resembles the inspiration, which was the Dear Vaccine, the Global Poetry website. So yeah, it's currently underway. So it's a work in progress.
So without sounding like I'm trying to put a timeline on it, is there a timeline on it that you have a goal that you have set for this to be released? Will it, for example, will it be in the new year sometime?
From the conversations that we've had, it seems that in the springtime,
around
about when we'd have the test site up and start moving forward then.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And to get to the springtime, when the site is up and running, what we are doing now is inviting people to submit poems to the Gatehouse. So if they just type in poems@thegatehouse.org, they can submit their poem that way at this point in time, just like Liz Cook said she would be doing. So that's what we're going to be doing, and collecting all the poetry, all the work, and that's what the Humber College students will be doing in terms of collecting all of this, along with Andrea Robin, who is also a member of the Gatehouse, to have that. And then, as Carol's saying, as the website is being developed, they'll start putting in the information that we provide to them.
Yeah, that's great, and I'm glad you posted that as well. And I've posted it a few times on my social media site as well, because the social platform I'm on most of the time is Twitter, because I have a huge following there. One thing I've noticed on that platform that I'm on is there's a tremendous amount of writers or authors, and poetry. I constantly see it going across the board all the time. So I've encouraged a few people that I connect with on there to pass it down. Whether they have or not, I don't know. But after our conversation today, I'm definitely going to go back and check with them to see if they have, and to remind anybody as well as them that the door is open if you'd like to contribute, because there's lots of, this is going to be a tremendous book when it all comes together. But just the actual quilt you talked about, I love that, that you're putting together, will be awesome for people to share that platform. And again, for people that are listening, you don't have to use your name. You don't have to. If you don't want to, you can go in anonymously and write your poem as well. So you don't have that on there as well. Is that all right if you don't use your name?
Yeah.
And and so this is really great. So what I'd like to do now, first I'd like to thank you, Carol, for talking about that. Unless you would like to add something else to this moving forward, and maybe come springtime, when it is finally released, I can maybe get you to come back on here again, and we can talk about how it's, I don't think the quilt will ever be complete even after it's all said and done, because there'll be still people wanting to contribute. There's still people, have had these experiences that are only just going to realize, I can do this. I can put it into poetry, and go from there. But I'd like to get you to come back sometime after the website is up, and we'll talk about this again, to where it's at and what has changed and what's becoming of it. And what I see becoming of this now is something very wonderful. And what I mean by wonderful is, I like to use this word, and I don't get to use it often enough, but I just see this connection happening.
Mm-hmm.
And not just here in the Greater Toronto Area, but internationally and through poetry. So when I talk about the people I've met on Twitter, as an example, I see the connections there. And these people are international. They're not just in one area. They're all over the world. And they share this stuff. And it's amazing to see the poets that are on there and how big a following they have and how people contribute. So to me, I see the value in this. And where it could go. So again, if it's good with you, Carol, I'd like to have you come back again in the spring after this is taken, this is taking wings,
sure.
If that's possible.
Sure, I'd like that.
Oh, thank you. And maybe you can share some of your own poetry that you've written as well at the same time, if you're up to that as well.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find the strength and bring it with me.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be phenomenal.
Totally phenomenal. So I'd like to switch it up a little bit here, and before our time is up, because time is flying by, I'd like to ask Art about the Charmaine Laverin and how is that going at the legislature. Have you heard anything more about that? I know Charmaine has written a book. That's happened. And I'm also going to reflect more on the other guests that were here at the Gatehouse, at the conference as well. So I guess we'll start off with that question first.
And I think maybe Maria would be the best one to give an answer about who all the guests were and facilitators were at the conference, because my focus at that day, at that particular conference, was on the poetry session. So, and with Carrie from Kent State University. And people can look up Carrie and the Wood Poetry Center at Kent State just to see what the things they're up to, which is, they're quite amazing. And speaking of amazing, so Charmaine, I'll be seeing Charmaine next Monday. Maria and I will be visiting with her. And she's working with a member of provincial parliament right now who is endeavoring to get it into, I think it's their fourth reading. I'm not sure if it's that, but I think it is. So that the idea here, as it is at the moment, is under this banner, the phrase of Laverin's Law, is to have put in place legislation that would create the space for week-long sessions on dealing with the trauma of sexual abuse for children. And these sessions would be in the educational curriculum across the province of Ontario. A lot of work to be done on that, but to me, it resonates with work that leaders in the World Health Organization have talked about, where they have said one of the most powerful tools from their work around the world is to find ways to have the story, the narrative, be presented by young people with the support, really healthy support here, of educators, that people can talk about what's happened to them. And so Laverin's Law would be the first of its kind in Canada to be passed. And I think it's one of the most sensible and also one of the most powerful steps this country can take, is helping be with children in such a way that they can talk about this type of trauma. We talk about all kinds of traumas. I broke my arm. Somebody stole my lunch money. Somebody stole my books. we talk about traumas in a lot of different ways, but when it comes to the one that has the three letters in front of it, sex, people don't, they shy away from that. And they'll also say children aren't capable of expressing their thoughts, but they are. It's the way we have to create a space for children to speak. So that's why I so admire Charmaine in advocating for this. It's so very, very powerful that this goes forward. There's a lot of work to be done. This is something, it gets strong when we're gentle with it. This is really important. A young person's voice will get stronger if everybody around that child is gentle, not forceful, not prescriptive, but gentle in such a way that a young person can feel so comfortable to express what's going on in their world. And you and I, we know this from our work, Stuart, over the years at the Gatehouse. How many times have people said things like, I wish I could have said this earlier. And the fear to stop people, that stops people from speaking about it. So we want to be able to teach people that there's a way to talk about these things and hear these things, that it's not, that it gets to be, you can be comfortable in your own skin talking about one of the most uncomfortable, terrifying moments of your life. That's what she's up to. And I really, really admire her for that. So that's, and here's hoping that it keeps on growing. And her strength is extraordinary.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. This is so important, and I felt necessary, and it needs to be talked about. And the public needs to know that this is actually happening, and it's something that can't be ignored. And Charmaine's been working on this for many years now, and should be acknowledged as well. So I commend her for her strength and her courage for doing the things she's been through. And recently she released a book. I heard about that as well. Maybe Maria can elaborate more about that as well. But yeah, I wanted to mention that pay homage to Charmaine for doing what she's doing. Because as you pointed out, this is really a stepping stone for what will happen in the school's curriculum in years to come. Not just in this province, but I really believe that it'll happen in the other provinces as well. Once one starts, the other will start. And once they see the value behind this. So that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So moving forward, either to Carol or to Art, I know you were focused, Art, on the poetry initiative. And but moving forward, overall, the conference this year was a success, I guess, is kind of what I was asking you. And you were, and that's why I was asking if you had any comments or thoughts in regards to how it went and moving towards next year.
That just the fact that it's there, that it, when I think back to the very first conference we had, it was a very healthy conference. We held it at, and we often hold it at the Toronto school for Toronto Police Services at their school. And we often have 200-300 people in at the conference. And then it seemed to keep growing. We had people on one occasion speaking from Nigeria online, and it just, and from Bolivia, it just kind of is growing along the way, and it's really, really powerful. And one of the first people ever speaking at our conference was Dr. Norman Deutsch, brilliant individual, talking about neuroplasticity, the neuroscience and trauma. And one of the principles in neuroplasticity is the capacity to be able to take a look at trauma from a mindfulness perspective, and whatever the negativity is that's surrounding that trauma, that we can step back from that and talk about it. And this is just a cursory way of expressing it, but talk about it so that trauma doesn't own me, that I'm starting to recognize that the trauma is, it's a thought, And it's a thought that doesn't serve a purpose for me in this moment in time. And I can move away from that thought. I have ways to do that. And we've talked about that and have been doing that at the Gatehouse for all those years since we explored this idea of neuroplasticity and neuroscience and trauma. So to think that that kind of discourse is happening to where we had the Carol speaking at the conference just back in November here in the way that she did is so powerful. It is one of the most powerful conferences that I've ever been involved in terms of where you have people standing up and doing what Carol did at this last conference. And we want to keep on doing that. And we want to steep it in really healthy, healthy science. We want rigorous science. We want it to be held in a healthy, healthy psychological state, sociological state. That's what we want to be doing. And the more we have our voices heard, the stronger everybody gets. Not just the person who's speaking, but everybody else in that room gets stronger. So that's what the conference represents to me. And the fact that we have people from different organizations down in Bolivia, Breathe Hope is a very powerful, unbelievably powerful organization. They're connected with the Gatehouse. And so, and that's just one example. And we want to, and that came out of the conference. That's what the conference does. It draws people together from around the world and people share their thoughts and feelings about a topic that people just don't want to look at. They pretend that it's not there to the tune of it's an epidemic on our planet. So we want to be the ones, fine, why don't we just ask if they gave us anybody involved in this, saying, no, that doesn't make any sense. You can't hurt children. Sorry, that's not happening anymore. And then we're also going to be with the child who gets their voice to be front and center, and they're strong. And we listen to their voice. That's what we want to be doing.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to pass this to Carol now. I guess a two-part question. Again, like I said, we are running out of time. Well, this is your first conference. Am I correct in saying so?
It's probably the second, but COVID happened not long after the first. I can't remember much about the first one. Because I'm probably around the gate down to just over a year and a half now, I think.
So what did you think this year, how it went? And the reason why I'm asking this, obviously, because you're part of the board and you are a very important part of this process of doing what we do, keeping things working at the Gatehouse. And how do you feel it went this year? And what do you feel about next year? So it's kind of a two-part question. And then I have three questions, but I'll start off with those two.
Well, I was only able to tune in for a few of the, especially the art-related type of sessions, bits and pieces here and there. But from what I saw, I just found it very powerful, very beneficial. And also, I feel that this type of conference, in conjunction with this global poetry project that we're working on, is only going to be enhanced as a result of the network that we'll begin to build with the poetry project. And I feel that the outreach of the conference will be so much more wider and transformative when it's interwoven with the Global Poetry Project. And as Arthur mentioned, all those resources that we plan to have on the website as well, we'll all link everything sort of back to providers of resources, the Gatehouse and other organizations that do the same thing. So I felt that the conference is something that's very needed. I thought it was very powerful, the parts that I was able to experience. And I think that every year following this Global Poetry Project, it will just become more well-intended and much more powerful, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's really important looking forward, because I'm already looking forward to the conference next year. I guess the last thing I want to ask Carol is, actually Maria kind of put it out there, is what I would like for you to write your poem and disclose it. And you kind of talked about it in the beginning. Maybe you could talk just a couple more minutes how what it was like for you, if that's all right with you.
So basically, just like the poem said, as I was part of the committee, I felt like I wanted to contribute to the project, so I decided to put pen to paper and write a poem, and literally write it, not even type it, but write it. And I just felt I just felt weird, uncomfortable. I felt weak. I just felt like I didn't want to deal with this. This is too much and everything. I even felt like leaving the gatehouse altogether. It was just so much. But then in the end, I realized that it was the shame. And so I wrote that down. I wrote shame down. So for a long while, I just wrote shame. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then I said shame has immortalized my words.
Yeah.
And then from there, the rest of it kind of came. But I felt when I was writing the poem that facing, because as I said, to deal with the trauma, you have to write the poetry, you kind of have to visit the trauma somewhat at mm-hmm. whatever degree you can. And I was literally looking into a room of darkness. I couldn't see anything because everything was just black. You know, I blocked all these things out. And I felt stronger not dealing with it. And dealing with it made me feel weak. But I also realized in participating in the conference that it's not weakness at all. It's tremendous courage, actually. As you find the words, you find courage. And when you release the words, you're actually on the path to healing. So for me, it's been transformative. It's been healing. It's been very rewarding. And as I said, even just a few days ago, I was laying in my bed with in my reflective time, and I started finding other words. And I said, maybe I need to write another poem.
Thank you. Looking forward to that. Now I'm going to again thank you both for talking about this today. Again, moving forward, this is so important for people to understand, you know, not just the work behind it, but how it's all coming together, and when it all finally comes together come springtime, just as the website as an example, and hopefully a book in the future as well. So this is awesome. So thank you ever so much. Now I'm going to kind of jump over to Maria for a second, because like I said, we are running out of time, and I would like to ask Maria. Hi, Maria. Thank you for all the stuff you're doing today, by the way, keeping us in order to whatever degree you're doing with all those button clicking and stuff going on. But I'm going to reflect back to the conference. And I want to ask you how you felt, because I know you are pretty much are the one that orchestrated it and got things all going. You got all the nuts and the bolts in the right place and to make everything work as well as it did. So, again, like, it's a two-part question. How you thought it went, and what are you working next year, or maybe you don't want to tell us, or maybe just, I don't know, so maybe any comments on that?
Thank you, Stuart. Yeah, it's definitely a team effort in order